Okay. So, on Daf Tesamid Beis, we have the two conversations between Bar-Hei-Hei and Hillel. So, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the great Yeshiva Boys Choir song. Pretty sure the only reason that song exists is because at the same time, Shweki had a song, Ben Bagbag Omer, from Pirkei Avos, and Bar-Hei-Hei and Ben Bagbag sound kind of alike, but it's actually they're more closely related than that, as we shall see. If you take a look in our Gemara, so let's just talk about what Bar-Hei-Hei actually said. So it says Amar Le Bar-Hei-Hei Lehillel, and they look at the second one. We'll go hopefully next time we'll do the first one, which is the concept of davening tashlumen and missing out on tefillah. But in the second comment of Bar-Hei-Hei, he says, "My dechsev v'shavtem u'risem bein tzadik l'rasha bein oved Elokim l'asher lo avado." So we'll see the difference between a tzadik and a rasha, and the difference between someone who serves Hashem and someone who does not serve Hashem. Hainu tzadik, hainu oved Elokim, hainu rasha, hainu asher lo avado. Isn't it just redundancy? A tzadik is someone who serves Hashem, and a rasha is someone who doesn't serve Hashem. So Amale, avado velo avado tarvayo tzadike gemure ninu. No, a person who serves Hashem in this pasuk and a person who doesn't serve Hashem in this pasuk, they're both tzadikim gemurim. Ve'eno dome shona pirko me'el pamim l'shona pirko me'ev echad. And the only difference between them is you can't compare a person who learns something 100 times and a person who learns something 101 times. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that in those days, all of Torah was bal peh, besides Tanakh. So you had Tanakh, and then you had all the Torah Shebaal Peh, that was Baal Peh. So you really had to do Chazara many, many, many times from what you learned. It wasn't sufficient to just go over it once or twice, so that if you had to open the book again, you could read it inside, because there was no inside. They would just take down shorthand notes, which we call nowadays, we call them brisos. They would write down a brisa, which was, you know, they would be a four-hour shiur, and they would write down a two-line summary of the whole shiur. But everything that went into it had to be memorized bal peh, so they would go over it many, many, many times. So the differentiating between a person who goes over it 100 times versus a person who goes over it 101 times. So then the Gemara just asks, what? It says, Amar Leah Mishim Chad Zimna Kari Le Lo Avado. It says, because he didn't go over it one extra time, we call him someone who didn't serve Hashem. Amar Leah, and yeah, it's true. Tzei Ulamad Mishuk Shel Chamarin. Right, go out and learn from the prices of donkey rides. Asara parse bezuza, chadasa parse betray. Right, so he says, if you needed to go one, you needed to go. Sorry, 10 parsos, so it costs one zuz. But 11 parsos, it costs two zuz. Meaning, why is that? Like, I don't know. You ever been in a taxi? I don't know if anybody takes taxis anymore. But once upon a time, there was a thing called a taxi. And it was like an Uber, but it was yellow. So it used to be that if you wanted to go to the city, it was a flat rate. If you were coming from JFK to go to the city, let's say, I don't remember the number, let's say it's $30. So you could go to any point in Manhattan for $30, or any point in New York City officially for $30. But if you would go out of Manhattan, even one block, then it would be on the meter, and it would sometimes cost $60. So that's what he's saying over here also, that sometimes if you need to take a 10 parsa ride, it'll cost you one zuz, but if you need a 11 parsa ride, that now you're out of the flat rate zone, so you have to pay double. So he's saying that when you learn something 100 times, it pays off. But if you learn it 101 times, it pays off exponentially. Because, you know, they a lot of different mishalim are given for this, but like they give the folding, you know, how many times you have to fold a piece of paper till you get to the moon. You ever heard that one? I don't know. It's one of those theoretical physics experiments that if you fold a piece of paper, so people think that you fold a piece of paper, you know, how many times you have to fold it to get from here to the moon. So, you know, people give astronomical numbers. I don't know, 10,000 folds, a million folds, whatever. It's very few. It's way fewer than you would think. I don't remember the official number, but you can Google it and find out. But it's because we don't realize that when you're doubling it constantly, it increases exponentially, and then it only takes like 64 folds or something like that. That can't be right, but I think that's right. But it takes very few folds to get from here to the moon. So anyway, point is that when you go over it 100 times, that's, you'll really know it well. But 101st time, somehow that will have a, you know, a greater effect, and it'll have a bigger effect than all the 100 previous times that you tried it. Okay. That being said, I thought it was a nice topic to discuss the idea of one's obligation to remember his learning. But before we get to that, just two ha'aras. Number one, on the name Barhehe. So the question was, why was his name Barhehe? That's his parents. Well, technically, his father's name was Hehe. So really, did his grandparents dislike his father that much that they named him Hehe when he was born? So probably not. So probably he was a ger. I think the Marsha points this out, that he was a ger, and he was he was considered Ben. A lot of times a ger takes on the last name Ben Avraham Avinu, or Ben Avraham, right? If you ever heard a ger called up to the Torah, so whatever name he chooses first, so let's say he chooses the name Moshe, so they call him up to the Torah as Moshe Ben Avraham Avinu, or Moshe Ben Avraham, when you become a ger. So the name Hehe was short for Ben Avraham Visara, because both Avraham and Sarah had a He added to their names. So the name Barhehe was that he was a ger, to indicate that he was a ger, and they actually say that Ben Bagbag was the same, because Bag Beis Gimel equals He. So they called him Ben Bagbag to indicate that he was Ben Avraham Visara, because both Avraham and Sarah had Hayes added to their name. So then the question just becomes, why don't just give him a normal name? Why do I have to call him by these weird names? So apparently in those days, if you became a ger, it meant, meaning it's not like today where you're, there's total freedom of religion, and you can just, if you're some random guy on the street and you decide you want to be Jewish, so nobody minds. Maybe your parents will be mad at you, I don't know. But my wife just met a person recently who is from Tennessee. He's, I think, his fourth generation pastors. Everybody in his family is a pastor from four generations in Tennessee, and he became a ger. So he said his grandfather wasn't too happy with him when it happened, but he said now they get along okay. But nevertheless, in those days, if you were becoming a Jew, it's because you were converting from a different religion. And they took it very seriously in those days. So they would sometimes, I'm sure you guys heard the famous Ger Tzedek of Vilna, who was a count, and he was eventually killed for his converting to Judaism. So in those days, you had to sort of hide out from the authorities if you converted to Judaism. So they gave him these strange names because they didn't want anybody to know that he was a ger. So insiders would know that he was a ger, and outsiders wouldn't understand what it meant. So they wouldn't necessarily know that he was the same guy who converted. But, okay. Anyway, that's one suggestion, I think, based on the Marsha. Okay, but before, and that's Ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two is based on the Gemara. Once you talk about reviewing things 100 times, it's just reminiscent of the Gemara in Erevin about Rabbi Preda. So, you know, if I ever feel like I'm a good Rebbe, so I just, you know, go over this Gemara about Rabbi Preda, and you don't feel so hot anymore. But, so it says here, Rabbi Preda, Havale Hahu Talmida the Havitani Le Arba Mea Zimne Vagama. So Rabbi Preda had a student who he had to teach it to him 400 times in order for him to get it. And after 400 tries, he would get it. Yomachad Boy Lamilsa the Mitzvah. One day, Rabbi Preda was needed for some kind of a mitzvah matter. And so Tanale Velo Gamer. Meaning, so they knew, Rabbi Preda knew he had to leave at a certain time because he had to go do some kind of a shlichus. So he was teaching the student, and the student wasn't getting it. Amar le ha'idna ma'ishna. So Rabbi Preda said to the student, "What's going on today?" Amar le mehahi shaita damru le lamar ika milsa de mitzvah aschoy ledatoy. So he said, "Sorry, I wasn't paying attention for the first 400 times." Says, because I got distracted when I heard that they needed you to go do a mitzvah. So from that moment, I wasn't paying my usual awesome attention. So v'chol shaita amina hashta koymar, hashta koymar. Because every time you would finish, I would say, oh, now the Rebbe's leaving, now he's leaving. Meaning, I had a little bit of, clearly the guy had some anxiety issues, so he was anxious. He's like, when is the Rebbe going to leave? He didn't know. It was hard for him to, you know, there's a big mussar in there also that kids don't learn if they don't feel safe. You know, that's, the kid felt anxious and he wasn't able to absorb the material. It wasn't like he wasn't trying. He was distracted and he had anxiety over, because he liked the routine that they had, and he just thought, oh, my Rebbe's going to leave any minute, and he wasn't able to absorb the material. Amar Lei, so Rabbi prayed and said to him, Hav daitech va'asnilak, you pay attention, I'll teach you. Hodr tanalei arba me'ezim ne'achrini. He taught him another 400 times. Basically, he said to the kid, I'm the Rebbe, you're the student, I'm going to do my job. I have other jobs to do also? Yeah, I'm going to do my other job also. That's not for you to concern yourself with. You worry about paying attention, and I'll teach it to you. And he taught him another 400 times. Nafka bas kol av amra lei. So the bas kol came out and said to Rabbi Preda, Michalayech de lispulach arba me'ashane. So he says, what would you prefer? Would you want me to add 400 years to your life? Oh, the tizku at vidarech la'almadase. Or would you like yourself and your generation to go to Olam Haba? So Amar, he said back, the nizku ana l'dare la'almadase. So he said, I would like from myself and for my generation to go to Olam Haba. Amar lana kodesh baruch hu, tenu lezu, tenu lo zu vizu. Okay, you made the right choice. Now you get both. So he got to live another 400 years, and he and his whole generation were zochet to Olam Haba. Okay, so it's a pretty good win. But so if you have a student or a friend or whoever who you think is a little bit dense, don't lose patience with them so quickly. It pays off in the end. So I don't know, many have pointed out a lot of different aras on this Gemara. First of all, you got to give the Talmud a lot of credit. Most kids would give up after two times, one time, 400 times. He stuck with it. So you got to give the Rebbe a lot of credit and the student a lot of credit that he was willing to stick it out. But okay. So there's an interesting, just by the way, once we're on the tangent, so we'll take a little tangent from there. On source number 3, the Gemara Megillah. So the Gemara, towards the end of Maseches Megillah, goes through various Tanoim and Amoraim, that they asked him how you were zoche to a long life. They go through various Midas Chasidus that each one of them had during his lifetime, which was Mezakeh them in Arichas Yamim. So he says, Sholu Talmidim es Rabbi Preda. So this is Rabbi Preda's turn. Bameh Arachta Yamim. So he says, how are you zoche to a long life? Amar lohem. So he answered back, Miyamai lo kodamni adam leves medrash. So he says, never did a person beat me into the base medrash. Velo berachti lefnei kohen. I never made a bracha when there was a kohen around, meaning I never led the benching or got an aliyah when there was a kohen there. Velo achalti mebehema shelo hurmu matanoseh. And I never ate from an animal prior to the matnos kahuna being given away. Meaning technically you might be allowed to eat from the animal. Every animal that shechted, even a chulin animal, you're supposed to give away what they call the zroa, the keva, and the lechiayim to a kohen. Three parts of the animal, the foreleg, the jaw, and one of the stomachs has to go to the kohen. So technically you could eat from it before they give it away to the Kohen, but he said, I was always makbid never to eat from it before they gave it away to the Kohen. Those were his three Midas Chasidus that he had. So it's a little weird considering the reason he had Arichas Yamim was that a Bas Kol came out and said, you're going to live for 400 years. So what kind of nonsense is that? Yeah, I was early to Beis Medrash. What do you mean you were early to Beis Medrash? We know why you lived so long. So Tosa says that Kasha, and Tosa says that this must have been before that whole incident, right? If you skip to the bottom of source number 4, it says Yesh Lomar Demeikar Lo Yada Kain Afle Besov Sherosh Shechaya Kolkach, right? Originally, he didn't realize this. Either Tosa Rosh, I think, gives a slightly different answer. He says that it was before the incident took place, or before the incident took place, or he didn't realize at the time that he was zochet to both. We, who read the Gemara, we know that, quote-unquote, that was God's response. But Rabbi Preda didn't know that that was God's response. The Bas Kol didn't necessarily answer him.
Hashem just said it.
Right. Right. He didn't realize that that's why he was living such a long life until he realized that he was living an abnormally long life. And then he realized, oh, this must be because I taught it to him an extra 400 times. But what's interesting, what many have pointed out, is that Rabbi Prada never said, the reason I lived a long life is because I am so patient with my Talmidim. He never said, because I'm willing to teach the kids as many times as it takes. So many have pointed out. You see, that's not a Midas Chassidus. It's not considered a Midas Chassidus to teach the kids till they understand. You teach the kids till they understand, because what else are you doing? Right? That's there's a comic strip. Rabbi Storch has it up in his office. I've actually seen it before, but like the guy says to, you see this little kid and his dog, and he said, I taught my dog to whistle. And then the other kid says, I don't hear him whistling. So he says, I said I taught him. I didn't say he learned it. Right? So it's not such a great kunst to teach people things if they don't learn it. So it's not really such a midas chassidus for Rabbi Prada to have taught the Talmud 400 times. You know, that was what was required of him at the time. So, okay. So that's the story of Maseches Megillah. And one other very cute answer I saw quoted in the, there's a compilation called Daf al Daf. They have it on the Bar Ilan, so I searched it. I found it on the Bar Ilan where they have, it's called a Daf, I don't know if you've ever seen it in real life. There's this blue svarim called Daf al Daf. It's Chassidish Vortluch on the Daf Yomi. Where they collect numbers. So here's a nice one, where they have Gona Chassid Reb Chaim Shaul Kaufman Migatehead. He gave the Yashiv Astira beEze Zechus Herich Repeated Yamim in Bishvil Shelo Kadmo Adam Beis Hamedrash O Shalom Natamido Arba Meos Paamim Kedisa BeErevin. So he raised the question that we asked: why didn't he say that he learned he taught his Talmud 400 times? Daharabusa he. Shemisha kol rega haya kol kach chashuv be'enov ad shelo kadmo adam beveis hamedrish. So he said, yeah, Mela Rabbi Prada, he held, I could teach the kids so many times because I have all day. What do I care? You know, he wasn't a guy who was chas on his time. You might have thought, if you hear this, a Rebbe, he taught his student 400 times. Yeah, because he had nothing better to do. No, just the opposite. So he said that he was so chas on his time that nobody ever beat him into the Beis Medrash. Meaning he cared so much to not waste time from learning that he was always first into the Beis Medrash. V'im kol zeh v'yeser mizman alacherim v'iter, sorry, mizman alacherim l'lam dambina. And nevertheless, he gave up his time so that other people could understand. Zehu azuchus shelamana herach yamin. It says that is the zechus that he had arichas yamim. Meaning, so it's not a stira that he said the zechus that I had arichas yamim was that I came early to the Beis Medrash. No, it was because he came early to the Beis Medrash that it was such a zechus that he was willing to teach his Talmud so many times. Because if there was a person who wouldn't really care about his time, he says, all right, so I'll watch the movie later. You know, he was going to teach his class and then go to the movies. So If the class ran late, he'd go to a later movie. No big deal, you know. But if here's an individual, he wanted the time for himself. He wanted to spend the time learning. But Afal Pikein, he was patient with the student to the point that he was willing to give up of his time. Okay, back to our topic. So it's mostly based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but I think it relates very much to the concept of Chazara in general. So the Mishnah Perkei Avos, in source number 6, Rabbi Dustoy, Rabbi Yanai, Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol HaShocheach, Dover Echad Mi Mishnaso, Male Alav HaKosuv Ki'ilu Mischayev Benafsho. Right, so this is along the different Mishnayos in Perek Gimel, where people keep being Chayev Misa. Right, it's the least cheerful Perek in Perkei Avos. Along the lines of people who do the horrible crime of saying, wow, look at that nice tree. Right, and the other, you know what I'm talking about? Says if there were two people walking in there, and they were talking in Torah, and then one says to the other, "Ma yafa ilan zeh," right? What a beautiful tree! So he says, "Mischayev benafsho." He's chayev misa for that. Chayev misa for a lot of things. So here's another thing that I can only speak for myself. I've forgotten more than one thing. Maybe I'm not chayev misa because I've forgotten many, many things from my learning instead of just one. Maybe if you only forget one thing, you're chayev, but probably not. So it says, if you forget one thing from your learning, it's considered as if you're mischayev benafsho. Shenema raki shomer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od pentishka chaser dvar mishal roi necha. Right. So he says it's you have to guard yourself a great deal lest you forget the things that your eyes saw. And it's referring to at Har Sinai. Right? That's the rest of the, they quote the rest of the pasuk going forward. But then he says, Yachol afilu takfa alav mishnaso. I might think that this is true even if he was overwhelmed by his learning, meaning it was too much information to retain. So he says, no, Talmud lomar upen yasuru milvavecha koi mechayecha. If you remove it from your heart, your whole life. It's only if you sit and you actively forget it. If you try to actively forget your learning, then you are considered mischai benafsho for that. But you're not mischai benafsho if you just forget because you really did your best, and just the human mind forgets things. So therefore we don't hold the guy accountable for that. Okay, and this actually makes it into the Gemara. We're not going to go through the whole Gemara right now, but same idea basically in the Gemara in Menachos. Same Gemara in Menachos we did last week on Daf Tzadik Tes Amid Beis about how much a person is supposed to learn. So here this Gemara came a little bit beforehand. And there it says the same thing. If you forget because of an ones, because you're a human being and human beings forget things, then that's not so bad. But if you forget because you really tried to forget it, and it's a question, meaning not doing chazara, does that count as trying to forget, or does that count as an ones? So it's really hard to know the answer. Probably if a person doesn't ever do any chazara, then you can't consider that an ones, right? Like when you talk about the four shomrim and the different possibilities when they're guarding something. So you have pshia, you have gneva v'aveda, and then you have ones, right? So pshia means that you were totally negligent. You didn't try so hard to remember it the first time, and then you didn't even review it. Then you have gneva v'aveda. So what's the idea of gneva v'aveda? So it's the Gemara says notar kidinatre inshe. You guarded it the normal way that human beings guard things in today's time and place. Like so let's say somebody gave you a large sum of money to watch, and you have a safe in your house. You put it in the safe, and then someone came in there and cracked the safe. So okay, so that's called gneva v'aveda. That's you guarded it normally. So I mean that could even be considered an ones. I don't know, but and then ones is you did a really good job and no human being could have done better, and still it happens. So it's hard to know how you would compare this to the idea of chazara, but nevertheless the idea is that we're not supposed to be poshea to the extent that we knew we never had a fighting chance of remembering it in the first place. We should give ourselves at least a fighting chance to remember it, so that we're not considered to be purposely forgetting our learning. I wrote here just some notes to fill in some of the gaps. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, does not count this mitzvah of not forgetting your learning. However, it is counted in the Yireim, the Smag, and the Smak. Now, those three Sifrei HaMitzvos all have something in common. The Yireim was written by Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, the Smag was written by Rabbi Moshe Mikutzi, and the Smak was written by his Talmud, who I forget his first name for some reason, also Mikutzi, but I forgot his first name. So the Smag is Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, and the Smak is called Sefer Mitzvos Katan. It's a more condensed version of the Smag. So So these are all Balei HaTosfos, and their Minyan HaMitzvos, they actually count a Los HaSeh of forgetting your learning as one of the 365 Los HaSehs in the Torah. Okay, and then we already saw this Gemara number 8 last week. So he says, Tana Rabbanan, Vishinantam Shiyu Divrei Torah Mechudadim Beficha. Right? The flip side of not forgetting your learning is that you should know your stuff really well. Shem Yishalcha Ishal lecha adam davar al tegam gein betomer lo emor lo miad shenema. You should answer him immediately, as it says in the pasuk, emor lechachma achosi at. Right, say to wisdom, you are my sister. Right, so wisdom should know every halacha the same way you know that particular halacha. That just like you know you can't marry your sister, so you know every other halacha in the Torah. Okay. Now that is the basic introduction to this din, but as we'll see, there is more to it. We're not going to go through everything inside, but if it's kedai, if you get a chance, check out the Gemara in Erevin Nundalit. It's actually the same daf as the Gemara previously of Rabbi Preda, which is discussing how they used to learn things in the Midbar. So there was a system that was set up that Moshe Rabbeinu would learn something from Hashem, and then Aaron would come in and Moshe would teach it to Aaron. Then he would step to the this Aaron's sons would come in, and then Moshe would teach it to them. Then the sons would move to the different sides, and other people would come in. And basically, the way it would go is that after it was said four times, Moshe would leave, and other people would come in, and they would teach it. And each person would be able to teach it four times. And you know, they say that the publisher of the Vilna Shas, if you notice, there's four lines of Rashi and Tosfos on top of every daf of Gemara. So they say that's based on this Gemara in Erevin, that they used to dafka teach it four times when each person would come in. Everybody would be responsible to hear it or say it over four times when they would learn it. So that was considered like learning it once. So learning it four times is the same thing as considered learning it one time, and everything after that is considered chazar. That's what basically the Achronim comment on this Gemara. Okay. In terms of Shulchan Aruch, if you look in source number 10, he paskins that this is a areimasai chayev lilmod. Till what point is a person chayev to learn? Ad yom moso, till he dies. Shenemar pen yasur milvavcha kol yimei chayecha kol zman shelo yasek b'torah hu shocheyach. Meaning, the way the Shulchan Aruch understands this idea is that you have to keep reviewing till you die because you don't want to forget. And obviously, when you get older, it actually becomes much harder to remember things. You'll be shocked when you're even if you feel like you're sharper. So I feel like, you know, I'm not that old, but my memory is definitely worse than it used to be. Like, I can remember things that I did and said when I was 9 years old, 10 years old, better than things I said last week. But I feel like I'm sharper overall. But in terms of memory, when you go past your 20s, really into your 30s, it's not the same. You don't have as good of a memory at that point. It could be because you're busy thinking, but possibly not. I'm not really sure why it is. But when you're a kid, especially, things you learn when you're young, they stay with you. Like, you can absorb things very, very easily. And that's what, if you look in Pirkei Avos, that's why Chazal put out the learning track is basically, you're not supposed to think until you're 15. You're supposed to just absorb information until then. You're supposed to learn Tanakh, Mishnah, and then you're not supposed to do Gemara, which in those days there was no Gemara. Gemara meant analysis, what we call nowadays lumdus. You know, so you weren't supposed to analyze things till you were already a teenager. Because that's the way the mind develops, is you don't develop analytical thinking till later, but your brain is a sponge for information. And then you can pack your head full of information, and then you have what to analyze. Okay, it's a different story for a different time. But if you look on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, so he has in his commentary here, he wrote his own, it's a little bit longer than the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but he has a lot of nice comments and Piskei Halacha of his own here. So especially in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he rearranged the whole thing in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He didn't like the way the Rambam laid out Hilchos Talmud Torah, so he redid the whole thing. It's very, very useful. So basically he says, Gam achshav shenichtav atar shebal peh v'yuchal la'ayin b'svarim mashashachach. Even though nowadays we wrote down the whole Torah shebal peh, and you could look in Svarim to see what you forgot, ein zem mo'il klum. This doesn't help at all. Ki miyad shashachach over belav kodem sheya'ayin. Because when you forget it, you violate the Isser before you look in the Sefer. Kimo b'yameim sheover belav b'shah sheshochech av sheacharkach yachzor v'yishal me'rabo v'ilamdenem ha'sheshochach. In those days, if you forgot something, you could go back to your Rebbe and he could remind you. So nevertheless, you violate the Isser when you forget it, more so than when you, even though you can look it up again later on, because it's all written down in Sfarim. Now, why does he write this? I don't know which one came first, but if you look in source number 12, this is the Sefer Keser Rosh. Now, the Sefer Keser Rosh is it's a very short book written in short sentences about the Hanhagos of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Basically, when the Vilna Gaon died, they wrote a very short book called Maisa Rav, and which is basically one-liners about Hanhagos of the Vilna Gaon. And so then when Rav Chaim Volozhiner was his top Talmud, so Rav Chaim Volozhiner died, they did a similar work called the Keser Rosh. So here they pointed out, Be'inyin HaShokhech, Davar Echad Mimishnaso, Zekoi Al HaRishonim Shalomdu Balpeh. So says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the whole issue of forgetting your learning, that's only in the days when they used to learn Balpeh. But nowadays, we learn from Svarim, and if you forget something, you can just look it up. So there is no Isser to forget your learning. I don't think he would advocate not doing Chazara, but he's saying you didn't violate the Avera. Now the Briska Rav comments on this statement of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that the machlokes here between the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Rav Chaim is, what is the Isser of forgetting your Torah? Meaning, is the Isser of forgetting your Torah just, you're not allowed to forget Torah? That's how the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is learning it. Very simple, straightforward. You're not allowed to forget. Or is it an Isser in losing the Mesorah? So according to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, there is no Isser to forget an individual point in Torah. But on the other hand, if you lose that halacha and the Mesorah is gone, you can't get it back. So the Isser forgetting your learning was specifically to deprive the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael from this idea, which can't be retrieved. So therefore, he said, there's no Isser to forget your learning, b'zman hazeh, when you forgetting it doesn't mean that it's gone. It just means that it's not there for you, but other people can still come and learn it. So that's really the Iker Machlokas. Just to close, we're not going to go through them inside right now, but if you check out these sources, Warren Horios has a list of five things that are called kasha l'shikcha. They make you forget your learning. I imagine this is some kind of spiritual thing, because I don't think there's anything biological about these items that make you forget. It says here, chamisha dvarim shakchim es alimud. There are five things that make you forget your learning. Right, if you eat, just to start off, if you eat something that was eaten from by a rodent, like if a mouse ate from it and you ate from it, or ochel lev shelbeim, if you eat the heart of an animal, and other things, meaning you're allowed to eat the heart of an animal. There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, how to kasher the heart. It's actually a siman ayin beis. Siman ayin beis in Yoredeya. I don't remember that, because when in Hilchos Melicha, so ayin aleph is rosh, Ayin Beis is Lev, Ayin Gimel is Kavid. There's three letters in Kavid, and there's two letters in Lev, and there's Rosh is one. So that's how I remember how it is, where it is, right? Anyway, just I figured it's a shir about remembering things. So the main thing, the best way to remember things is mnemonics. And in fact, I don't know if I gave you it on the Gemara in Arabic. It says Eina Torah Niknes Ela Ayde Simanim. Right, if you notice those little simonim at the beginning of a piece of Gemara, sometimes it's kedai to go back and to see which each letter. Like, let's say there's going to be five kashas from the Tashma, so there will be a simon and it'll say five letters, right? So each letter stands for the first or the subject of each brisa that they're going to try to bring a raya from in one direction or the other. So it's kedai to remember the simonim or have your own mnemonics or whatever it is. Have the more shtick you have to try to remember where things are and what sugya has how many steps. It's very helpful to do all these things. Okay, so lemaisa, at the end of the day, there are things that are listed off in the Gemara as kasha l'shikcha. There are other things not in the Gemara that are added on later on that are kasha l'shikcha. I don't know if you ever heard of any of them, but whatever. There's a list of interesting ideas that cause you to forget your learning. And then there are other things that you can do that cause you to remember your learning if you did those other things. So how seriously are we supposed to take these things? So Sefer Hasidim writes that it's not an Isser to do any of these things. Sefer Hasidim was, again, written by one of the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbi Yudah HaChassid. So he writes that it's not... He says, I'm careful not to do these things, but you can't say that it's an Isser to actually go ahead and do these things. It's not the Isser forgetting your learning. If you eat the heart of an animal or something like that, that might make you forget your learning. Right? And then he says, Va'isi yachol asok v'torah v'kol hayom, ata batal midivrei torah, v'holech ata im Ame ha'aretz l'shmo advarim b'telim mutav ha'yelacha shalo ha'yisa nizar midvarim ha'meshakhtim k'dei sh'ayisa shokheach dvarim b'telim sh'ata osek b'hem. So he says, you are super careful never to do any of these things that make you forget your learning, and then you spend your whole day goofing off. So he says, you're better off not being so worried about what you're eating. He says, halavai, you should eat those things that'll make you forget all the nonsensical things that you did all day. So rather than worry about it, he says, if you spend your time focused on your learning, you won't forget it so much. Okay. Right, and similarly, if you look at the Shut Salmas Chaim, is Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, he discusses this idea as well. All right, we're not going to get it. He says, he asked him about, the guy in the question asked, he wrote down, you see all those weird letters in the question. He wrote down all these Shemos. These are names of Hashem, like Kabbalistic names of Hashem. So in the answer, if you look where it says tshuva, he says, Tamati al shekosav Hashemos HaKadoshim. He says, my real question on you is, why did you write down those names? So you're not supposed to write these things. And then you're not supposed to figure out the numbers. He says you're not supposed to be involved with these things. He says once you wrote down all these names of Hashem, you should be careful with it, right? So he said basically. You know, he says, the things that are listed off in the Gemara, you know, don't do them. Don't eat those things, because maybe that's part of the issue of forgetting your learning. Right, he says, but shemen zayis is one of those things that says if you eat shemen zayis, then it'll help you remember whatever you lost because you ate those other things, so it's not so bad. So basically saying that it's not the end of the world. Don't do it too much. Right, I have a tshuva here from Moshe Sternbach, quoted the Chazon Ish, that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if a Talmud Chacham doesn't wash his hands properly, he's going to forget his learning. So he says, therefore, a person who doesn't forget his hands, that's a neat trick. But so he says, a person who doesn't wash his hands when he needs to is violating the issur of forgetting his learning. So again, he's saying that you should be careful about these things, not to forget your learning based on what the Gemara says over here. And last but not least, Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer called Sefer HaZikaron, just about memorizing things. He writes over here also that... He doesn't think that doing these things is an isser. He says, not even an isser derabbanan. But they're not quoted. He says, mashma she'ein b'ze isser. So he says, it's not mentioned in most of the halacha svarim that you can't do these things, and therefore you can't say that it's usser to do them. I did that already, sorry. But Tzarech Lomar, Kevon she'ein ze muchrach she'yishkach, so he says, what does it mean in the Gemara? Then how are you supposed to understand the Gemara that if you eat these things, you're going to forget your learning? He says, it's not guaranteed that when you eat it, you'll forget. It just means that these types of things make you forget your learning. So why are you eating them? So he's saying, just because you enjoy them. Says, which is not so when a person wastes his time and doesn't review his learning. That's considered much worse. That's like forgetting on purpose. He says, obviously they're listed in the Gemara, so you should avoid them, but it's not an isser. Fine, he quotes the Magen Avraham, writes, Sheish Lizar V'chein Mishnah Berurah. So, in the end of the day, probably a person who eats the things that are listed off in the Gemara as making you forget your learning, he's not violating the Isser of forgetting his learning, but it's probably best to avoid, or at least if you're going to do it, if you're going to eat those things, then you should at least look in the rest of the Gemara and see what other things you're supposed to eat to help you remember your learning. But at least it offsets it, and all the post-games seem to say that the best way to remember is to review. and not to, when you learn something once, you just it's going to go in one ear and out the other, so you have to do chazar on everything you learn, and that way you'll at least be trying to remember it. And if you're a human being and you forget things, then it's not considered the violation of the Isser. Just one last thing to point out, I think one of the best ways to review in general is whenever you get up from a limud, always ask yourself, what did I just learn? Like, what did I learn in the last, whether it was a 5-minute limud, a 3-hour limud, it doesn't matter. Just ask yourself, what did I just learn? Usually, what you just learned, you can summarize in a very, very short time in your own head. You can usually, you know, you don't have to go over every point, but just to cheshbon in your mind, like, what did I just learn? What do I know now that I didn't know before? What was the question? What was the answer? What was the main point? And your brain will organize it in such a way that you'll be able to, it'll be able to stick with you a lot longer. And, yeah. Okay. Shukar.